Yeah. Just keep your hands up and keep blowing, man. Oh, don't let your hands down, man. Come on, don't give up. Woo! Hallelujah! See, there ain't no wind out there, is there? Those trees ain't even moving, are they? But there's a wind in here, isn't there? Because we serve the God who shows himself. We serve the God who does miracles. We serve the God who heals and delivers. We serve the God with the finger of God. Devils come out from individuals. We serve the God of truth who loves his children. And he desires to reveal himself to us. Bless you, Master. Bless you, Master. Bless you, Master. Yeah. The Bible says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, if the world knew. If the world knew what goes on in the spirit realm. If they only knew. If they really knew. But that's your job to tell them. Amen. That's our job to tell them. Would you turn to the book of Ezekiel? Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 11. This is a prophetic word from the prophet of Ezekiel, who speaks about Lucifer, who is the principality or the king over Tyre. And he says in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the what? You were the seal of perfection. And we've been talking about the seal. And one of the things that when God seals something, he perfects it. He's called the seal of perfection. And we're going to be continuing talking about God's seal. The Bible says that you and I were called to be kings and priests. And with a king, there's always a specific seal that's given to a king that seals anything that is decreed by him. It is sealed. And that at a certain time, it is opened up and decreed. And the Bible also says that we as believers have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And in the sealing, there's a seal of perfection. And the Lord sealed Lucifer because he was his right-hand man. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. The world, the earth, was known as the mountain of God of the universe. And all the heavenly hosts used to gather on the earth when it was made in perfection. And worship would go from the earth to the universe. And Lucifer was the praise and worship leader. And it says here, this is, you are the seal of perfection, full of what? Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Why was he dressed with all of the precious stones of the earth? Because he was here. He was the ruler. He was at that period of time the praise and worship leader of the universe. And he was also here when God created the earth. Because the heavenly hosts were created first before the material. Then when the material was here, Lucifer was actually to watch God create all things. It says the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. So we know that he was the praise and worship leader. He was perfect. He played perfect music. He was perfect. But what perfected him was wisdom. Wisdom is what perfected him. Do you understand? See, it says here again, you were the seal of perfection, full of what? Wisdom. See, wisdom is what perfected him by the seal of God. It says, you are the anointed cherub who covers. Who covers what? Who covers the universe with praise. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. The holy mountain of God was the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery storms. That's when he created the earth. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till what? Iniquity or sin was found in you. I want to talk about the seal of perfection. So when you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit, there's seven attributes that come. And it's in Isaiah 11. Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, strength, fear and reverence of God. And in this, the seal of perfection is associated with wisdom. Wisdom. Now, wisdom is the Spirit. It's one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom tells you what to do. See, you can get all the knowledge you want. You can learn, but never know what to do with it. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10:16. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. Therefore be what? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, why did he say wise as serpents? Because Lucifer was sealed with the seal of perfection, wasn't he? Does everybody get it? The Bible also says that the serpent was the most cunning beast created. Lucifer carried as much wisdom as God created at that period of time. Lucifer was created with the seal of perfection of wisdom. So he says, listen, be wise as a serpent. What do you mean? Be wise. Why? Lucifer became the serpent. Be wiser than him. Because now we have the anointing and the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things, who guides us to all truth. So he says, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a what? As a dove. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Be what? Whoa. Beware of what? Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. In other words, don't put your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. In other words, God is going to bring you before individuals to testify of his truth. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Why? Because you've been sealed with perfection. Then it says, now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his son, his children, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be what? He who endures to the end will be saved. Now, wisdom is needed to endure. Without wisdom, you can't endure. You'll be flipped, flapped, and flopped all over the place. You'll be trying to grab hold of every kind of thing when troubles come, except for the thing you're supposed to grab hold of, and that's Christ. And holding on and getting wisdom so that you know what to do. Go to Matthew 7. The seal of perfection. See, God already looks at you as perfected. Now you just got to cooperate with the training. In Matthew 7 and verse 21. Let's read it together. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there's a lot of people out there saying, well, Jesus is my Lord, but they're doing their own thing. Are they getting home? No way. He says, only those who do my will. So it's our responsibility to search out what the will of God is in our life. Not for waiting for God to bring you the will. You're to search it out. That's why people don't get wisdom. They're waiting on God, and God is waiting on them. The Bible says, draw near to him, then he'll draw near to you. That's why everybody gets rescued in their distressedness, in their abandonment, in their troubles, and so forth. Why? Because who do they look to? They draw to God. Then he draws to them. So he says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord's going to, I'm going to answer. But only those who do the will of my Father. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many wonders in your name? And the Lord will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So they might have been doing things according to the will of God, but they weren't in will of God. Do you understand that? Because they were still going doing things behind closed doors they weren't supposed to. They were trying to serve God and serve the devil at the same time, and you can't. Verse 24. Therefore, come on, read it with me. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him a what? Wise man who built his house on the rock. I love this scripture. First of all, we know the rock is the foundation of everything. And the foundation is the Holy Spirit, who is the builder. The Holy Spirit. The church is being built by the Holy Spirit, right? So he says, listen, I will liken him as a what? Wise man. Why? Because he's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. Why? Because of the seal of perfection, the Holy Spirit. The person was using the wisdom of God that had been imparted in him. So he wasn't going to sway. He wasn't going to be tossed to and fro. He was going to stand firm. And verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like an idiot or a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So I want you to look at something here. The seal of perfection is associated with wisdom, which is going to assist you to endure and assist you to build. It's going to assist you to what? Endure and assist you to build. Matthew 25. We've heard this over and over and over and then more over. Let's read it together. Verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So we see that there's something else here that the wisdom is going to direct us to do. And the true wisdom of God is going to direct you to stay filled with the oil of God. So here's another thing we just talked about. Listen, the wisdom of God, because of the seal of perfection, it's going to cause you and direct you to endure. It's going to cause you and direct you to become a builder and build correctly. It's going to cause you and direct you to stay filled with the oil of God and keep your lamp lit. Why? Because we're to be the light. Does everybody see that? Go to Ephesians 5. See, you can go to church 16 times a week and leave the same way. You got to have what? Got to have wisdom. Got to get filled with the oil. Ephesians chapter 5. Got to have the truth. Got to praise and worship. And of course, you got to die. Ephesians 5. Come on. Verse 15. Let's sing it. Yeah. Let's sing it. Yeah. Okay, I've been drinking too much, all right. Let's start at verse 14 then. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you work circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? So you're either wise or you're a fool. Does everybody get it? You're either walking in the wisdom of God or you're walking in the stupidity of darkness. And you're either deceived or you're enlightened. There is no gray area. It's one or the other. Let's go a little further. Redeeming the what? The time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. That's wisdom, isn't it? See, the wise know how to redeem the time. The wise know how to what? In other words, they know how to utilize the time. They understand the time and seasons. The unwise have no idea. To them, just life is going on. They're in survival mode. That's all they look about is work, paying rent, and maintaining material. Work, paying rent, maintaining material. Are you hearing me? That's what the foolish one does. But the wise redeems the time, knowing that we're not bound by space and time. But what time we are here, we are constantly learning, advancing, seeking, rescuing, and directing. Are you hearing? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The wise maintains a fear and reverence to God. Does everybody understand that? There's a maintaining of a fear and reverence to God. Let's go on. Proverbs 16. Are you listening? Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Would you read it with me? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we know the opposite of pride is humility, to stay humble. So when an individual becomes prideful, they become foolish. They become what? Foolish. They can no longer discern. They cannot be sensitive to the things of the Spirit, to what the things are sensitive, or what's pleasing God and what's displeasing God. There's more reaction instead of response. So we know that pride comes before a fall. Now, a fall doesn't mean you're going to go out and hold up a bank. A fall says what comes out of your mouth. That's where you fall first. What comes out of your mouth. So he said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Wow. See, pride is associated with foolishness. Foolishness depends on self. Foolishness depends on carnal reasoning. Foolishness wants to be fed by its own emotions. This is foolishness. There is no wisdom in this area. Because see, wisdom denies itself. Foolishness exalts itself. Are you hearing? Okay, let's go a little further. Let's read 19 again. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Oh, wonderful. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and a sweetness of the lips increase what? Learning. In other words, revelation. They will gain more. Their understanding of the things of God and how God moves and who He is will increase more. Understanding is the wellspring of life to him who has it. So we see here that wisdom is life itself. But the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his what? Mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. So you know where your heart is. You know whether you're a fool, an idiot, or just plumb nuts. By what comes out of your mouth. Whether you respect, disrespect, whether you honor, whether you speak the things that are true or the things and how you feel. Hello? What comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth. In other words, what happens is you begin to agree with the voice of the stranger and justify, compromise. Why? Because you're touching with the spirit of foolishness. And it's a spirit of deception. The wisdom is now being drawn from you, and you're making the exchange with foolishness and carnal understanding instead of the purity of wisdom, because the wisdom from the Father is pure. It is pure. Pure. And what it wants to do is teach others. See, your example will teach others. Your example. That's why we're the light of the world. And in this, what we do, others are looking at. What we say, others are hearing. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. So this wisdom increases learning, doesn't it? Now, you can learn and not have wisdom. Because the world is learning, learning, learning. The knowledge is increasing, but they got no wisdom. Not according to the purity of what God is. See, but you and I have been sealed with perfection. So the wisdom that is from above is already in you. So that you will discern the things that are pure and clean and holy. And you'll reject those things that are impure, unclean, and unholy. You know, things that defile, and there's things that bring righteousness. This is the wisdom. This is what discerns and separates a fool from one who walks in the wisdom of God and one who walks in the foolishness of their flesh. And verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Of course. The Bible says that knowledge will increase. But see, the knowledge of the world is increasing and causing more foolishness. It's not bringing more wisdom. It's bringing more foolishness. It's causing more division. There's more pride being coming in the world. Look at how prideful the world is right now. Because it's not the purity of wisdom. Why? Because the world's not sealed by perfection, but the believer is. If you're walking right. In verse 2, for men will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into ministries, households, churches, and make captives of gullible people, load them down with sins and led away with all kinds of various lusts. They're always what? Learning. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because the wisdom is not associated with the seal of perfection. They're always learning knowledge. And that's all they can do is quote scriptures, speak knowledge, but they can't walk it. Why? Because the wisdom tells you what to do. Does everybody understand it? They're wannabes, but they're not willabies. See, you can want to be something, but then there's a place where you decide to no longer want to be, but you're willing to be. And when you're willing to be, your first thing you begin to do is deny yourself. And in denying yourself, you open yourself up to the wisdom that's from above. Because the wisdom from above is pure, always pure. That's what's associated with the seal of perfection. If there's things that you're doing that you got to hide from people, are you hearing me? It's because you're thinking it's hiding from God. If there's things that you're doing behind closed doors and hiding from people, then it's sin. Why? Because you know in your heart there's something that's not right that you're doing. Or you would expose it. And then what happens is people cry out, well, Lord, why don't I have this and why don't I have that? I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've been doing this. And the Lord says, listen, man, I know you've been doing that, but you still practice lawlessness. Why? Because you're not doing my will, you're still doing your will. Does everybody understand? Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And that's through the wisdom of the Spirit of the living God, where there is pure revelation, where you know the truth. See, the truth sets you free, not knowledge. Truth. So you can read this Bible inside and out and know it back and forth and memorize every page and still be an idiot. Why? Because you don't have fellowship with the Spirit. Do you understand? See, you must maintain that seal. You must maintain that feeling where the purity of the wisdom above nullifies the foolishness of the world. Go to Jeremiah 18. See, sometimes people are rejecting the training of the Spirit of wisdom because they won't come out of their comfort zone. They're comforted. It's like somebody who's on a ship that's going to sink, right? But they got all their goods on the ship. And they're going to go down with that ship no matter what. And people are going, come on, get off of that thing, man. No. Until finally they realize they're going to drown. But see, sometimes when they find out that they're going to drown, it's too late. Because all the life preservers have been taken. The rafts have been filled up and it's already floating away. But that one person people who are so comfortable in their own dirty laundry won't move. They're not willing to come out of the boat and trust God. See, that's foolishness. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. And Jeremiah 18, is everybody there? In verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. What's he saying? I'm going to cause you to get understanding. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. The wheel represents the Holy Spirit, who is the seal of perfection. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, and in the hand of the potter. In other words, there was something not perfect in it. Something contaminant in it. So he made it again. In other words, what did he do? He crushed it and remolded it. Welcome to the potter's wheel. And the vessel that he made in the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel. How many of y'all want to be made into another vessel? As it seemed good to the potter to make. Now the potter is the Lord, and we are the vessel. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of true ministries and total freedom, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look at the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of true ministries and total freedom. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I am thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and pluck it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit. Sometimes people, now listen, sometimes people begin to do things according to their own will, and God is holding back the reaping in hope that that person will turn before he has to let it go. See, if you've received counsel from the Lord in any way, and you reject that counsel, it's just a matter of time when God's going to release what you've sowed. In the meantime, he's trying to hold it back as long as he can so that you can turn and repent so that he doesn't have to unload the whole thing. Do you understand? See, but the wisdom will tell us these things. The wisdom will give us a discernment to know what we're doing is either pleasing God or displeasing God. It will discern what's holy and unholy. Every decision, every word, every response or reaction. Does everybody understand? Now, the creation of man is on the potter's wheel. Everything is on the potter's wheel right now. There's so many people that are jumping off the potter's wheel. It's incredible. That's why judgment is all over the world, isn't it? Look at the earthquakes. Look at the floods, the hurricanes. God is shaking the earth in a tremendous, tremendous way. Why? Because it's on the potter's wheel. God is saying, he's trying to get their attention. Come on, I'm doing something. These natural disasters and so forth that are not created by man. See, man can't explain this. They can't blame another man for what's going on. But they try to blame God for the weather. But God is just trying to get them in position to warn them, to teach them, that they may seek the wisdom from above and not from the foolishness and wisdom from below. Now, they try to avoid these disasters in areas of foolishness instead of going to the Father and surrendering. The carnal mind has a tendency to try to calculate out and figure out every way of escape instead of going to the Father and letting the wisdom of God bring them the escape route. Now, I want to share something with you because God wants to make known his ways, doesn't he? In every area, he wants every human being to know how God operates. Now, this is where oil is found. What do you mean? This is where oil is found. Because oil is drilled. Oil comes by pressing something. You don't get olive oil by just putting the olive on the table and watch it for about 6 days. No oil will come out. It has to be squeezed. And see, right now, many of us are getting squeezed, and you're supposed to. That's why you get on the potter's wheel. Why? Because he's fulfilling the seal of perfection. He's beginning to squeeze so that you can see your contaminants, so that you can get rid of them so the oil can flow. Does everybody get it? See, because the wise virgins stayed filled with the oil. They even carried extra oil with them. The foolish ones didn't. They were so concerned about today. They had no sight of future. They couldn't tell what was coming. They were caught up in what they needed today, and that was it. When the Lord had given them warning and warning and warning and warning. Just like Noah. They laughed at him when he was building an ark. Right? Can you imagine somebody building an ark right now? Hey, you want to get that out of my driveway? You know? They'd laugh at him. Yeah, right. Come on, man. Well, that's what's happening right now. People are laughing at you because of the way you are with the Lord. They're laughing at you. But one day they'll find the truth, and I hope it won't be too late. So this is where the oil is found. There's a place that means oil press. Would you like to know what that place is? Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Then what? Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, which means oil press. Hallelujah. And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Where did he bring the disciples? To Gethsemane. He brings them to the oil press. It's also we call it as the potter's wheel. But there's a place where God begins. This is where the oil is supplied. Called Gethsemane. And he took with him Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. See, this is a place where oil comes. This is the place where there's the supply. This is the place where there's the squeezing. Why? Because you are fighting so hard. The Bible says that Jesus prayed so hard and fought within him that blood, he sweat blood. In other words, his body couldn't contain the presence of God in him. He fought so hard that his flesh was about to explode because of the anointing that was within him. And his body began to bleed. And in this, you and I, God brings us to Gethsemane. And in here is where the oil is supplied that he's already placed with you as a seal of perfection. Do you understand this? And this here, he says, listen, is it possible? I mean, is it possible at all that this can pass me by? But then he fought. And he said, no, not my will, but your will. See, this is where oil is produced. When you go to prayer and you're fighting to reject your own will. Where you're killing down pride. Where you're beginning to search yourself. And not in the area of exploiting yourself, but exposing yourself. Where you're beginning to get to the nitty-gritty areas that you know are offensive to God, that you're not allowing anything to hide, that you begin to dig so hard till you drill and hit oil. And you finally come to a place, that's it. I don't want to live anymore. That's all I want is your will. And when your will comes, when you come to that place and you surrender that total will, and that's all you want is his will, no matter what comes up, because everything's going to come to you in an area where the devil's going to try to prove your will and deny the will of the Lord. Think about every decision you've made just in the last week. Now, it may have a form of godliness, but was it really the will of God? Were you really digging? Did you go to pray? People go, yeah, I'll pray about it, and then they just do it. You know why? Because they never went to Gethsemane. And they made a decision out of foolishness instead of the seal of perfection where the oil comes, where the wisdom is. Does everybody understand? See, there is a time right now that we have got to get there or we'll be pulled out of position. Remember, the wisdom is going to assist you and cause you to endure, to make right decisions. God is going to bring you to the oil press. You are pressed to receive more. This is the wisdom to understand the seal of perfection. We must understand what the seal of perfection represents. It represents the anointing of God. Where we come to the place where we're willing to truly say, not my will, but your will. And make the decisions according to the will of God and not our own. It is the seal of perfection by the anointing oil. We cry out more oil. Let me tell you, more oil is going to bring more exposure. You're going to realize and be more sensitive that the justification and reasonings that have come have been nothing but associated with foolishness and selfishness. And not according to the purity of the wisdom of God. Fulfilling the seal of perfection that's been placed upon us. Is everybody okay? Go to James 1. So welcome to the oil press. To the potter's wheel. Where the exposure is. James chapter 1. And verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Yeah. When you fall into various trials, the trials are going to bring you to Gethsemane. The Gethsemane is going to press you to produce more oil. The oil press. Hallelujah. That's why he says, count it all joy. Why? The joy of the Lord is our strength, and his presence is fullness of joy. And we're to count it all joy. In other words, everything you're going through is going to promote the seal of perfection or fulfill it that's been placed upon your life. knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what?
Nothing.
Lacking nothing. And if you lack wisdom, hello, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So count it all joy in the garden. Count it all joy in the potter's hand. Count it all joy in the wheel, and don't jump off and don't run out of the garden. Let his will be done, so that you will not lack any wisdom, and fulfill the seal of perfection. I want to close at Daniel 12. Daniel chapter 12. So by a couple days, we ought to see everybody all oiled up. Slip sliding away, right? Cloak of humility, the armor of light, divine nature. Man, I'm telling you. Willing to do his will, all joyful, praising God. No grumbling or complaining. When the Lord says, jump on the wheel, you gladly dive on it. You won't reason, you won't justify, and you won't promote yourself. You won't act like an idiot or foolish. You'll make yourself a bunch of humble pie and enjoy it, because you know you're producing more oil. In verse 1, and at that time, Michael the archangel shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that day, and at the time of your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contentment. And those who are what? Those who are what? Those who are what? Why shall what? Shine. Why? Because they got oil. And their light is shining. Like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words. And seal the book until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And that's where we're at. This is where we're at. That's why we say it's a good day to die. It's a good day to die yourself. That's why Jesus kept saying, deny yourself. He kept when he would say, deny yourself, he points to Gethsemane. Deny yourself. Why? Didn't he have to do it three times? He had to deny himself, didn't he? Three times he went to go pray. And every time he went back to his disciples, he had to wake them up. He said, man, don't you get it? You better stand awake and watch, or else you're going to fall into temptation yourself. Watch what I'm doing, he was saying. Watch. Watch what I'm doing. See how I cry out. See how I fight. See how I reject my will. And I'm willing to only go after his will. Why? So that the seal of perfection may have its place. Is everybody okay? We are in a great, great time right now where there's more and more and more and more fight, but there's more and more oil. That's why when we praise and worship the Lord, you know what you're doing? We're denying ourselves, and we're actually going into Gethsemane. And we're getting squeezed, and then God pours out his oil. And we get all happy and glad and don't care. In fact, we're willing to do whatever he says. If he said jump, we jump. If he said do a backflip, you do it. And you wouldn't think whether you were healthy enough to do it or not. Because you knew you could do all things through Christ, the anointing that strengthens you. See, everything else beside that is fear. Why? Because fear protects what? Pride. Anger protects fear. And pride protects self. See, you can put that all in one bag and crush it. And leave it, as long as you stay crushed. We're in a serious, serious time right now. Be careful to be wise and not foolish. It's a matter of life and death. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the seal of perfection. Thank you that it's not our perfection, but your perfection that's perfecting us, that we lack nothing. We surrender all to you. We repent for association with foolishness and arrogance and the ways of the world. We repent, Lord, for trying to do our will and not your will. For fighting for more of our will and less of your will. We repent. But Lord, we ask today that things will be made brand new. Starting brand new. Washing us with the blood. And allow us to walk in the seal of perfection. That you would have all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.